Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, we're joined by guest Justin Murphy to talk puck. We're breaking down the NHL divisions with a focus on the division known as the North, or as we like to call it, the Canadian Division. If you are not already subscribed to this podcast, please make sure to hit that notification button. Let us know that you're doing it on the socials. You can find me at Armchair Commentary, Steve at SteveSteele23. And let us know that you've subscribed. We'd appreciate any feedback, any follows. Let us know. If you're looking to support this podcast, you can always head over to patreon.com, search Armchair Commentary, or if you're looking for some merch, you can head over to TeePublic or Redbubble and search Armchair Commentary. Without further ado, bunch of hosers, eh?
Hey, if you're listening to this, you made it through the new year and you survived 2020. Congratulations. We also survived, and that means that we are dangerously close to puck drop on 2021, and the NHL decided it was going to go kooky dukes and realign the divisions to make coronavirus work. And we couldn't talk hockey without bringing back friend of the show, Justin. Justin, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I love the use of kooky duke.
Have to use a kooky duke.
I've never heard of that before.
Kooky duke is important. So we have four brand new divisions that are going to be, the names aren't super original or brand new.
Before we go any further, aren't they selling the sponsorship rights to the divisions?
They already did, but I forget what they are. I know that the Scotia North is the only one I remember.
Yeah,
gotta make Scotia. That money. Dollar bills.
The NHL can't afford to run a whole season without fans, so they had to do
No. No, and the CFL can attest to that, or what's left of them. The soon-to-be XFL North. all right. So, first of all, everybody, how is your new year? Are you guys glad to be back to have hockey on the way back?
Oh my God, I can't wait. I work from home and I watch SportsCenter all day. The Raptors suck. I can't wait for hockey.
The Raptors do suck.
The Raptors do suck. So far, we're only six games in. It can turn around, but so far, yes, the Raptors suck. My new year has been pretty quiet. I've just played a lot of video games and reading Insanity from Parler. That's where I'm at these days.
Amazing. I obviously we had a pretty rough World Junior end. I won't get too deep into it. Congratulations to the U.S. Kids, the Utes. They beat the Canadian Utes, who basically didn't have to face a tough challenge. Even the Russians weren't that tough. The Americans showed up and looked like they wanted it more, and a couple of lucky bounces and goalie playing out of his head.
Let's be clear what happened here. The United States employed the stop the Maple Leaf strategy by putting the middle of the ice. And Canada was like, wait a minute, we don't have the middle of the ice. We're the Maple Leafs. What are we going to do? And then they proceeded to get shut out and go with the wet part. So that's very Maple Leafian.
Literally waiting for Dave to finish before I piped up and said that and then say, I didn't mind the trash bin because it was deserved.
Yeah. So do you guys want to get into it? Let's start talking NHL West Division. We've got the Ducks, the Coyotes, the Avs, the Kings, the Wild, the Sharks, the Blues, and the Knights.
Oof. I consider this to be the easiest division that doesn't involve teams from Canada. You are laughing if you're Colorado and Vegas and St. Louis. You're just licking your lips that you got to play these guys 7-8 times.
So who's your fringe team then? Because there's four that make it from each division. And I think that we're probably all in consensus that Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas are the class of that division. LA's in a rebuild. The Yotes are...
They're the same as they always are. All the California teams are in a rebuild. Yeah. Minnesota is God so
is
knows.
Your, is that your don't know. Team?
No, I think I'm going with the Ducks here. I think the Ducks are far enough along in their rebuild that they might be able to sneak in there with old John Gibson.
I'm leaning on the Yotes for that fourth spot. They played well. They've got a couple of really good guys. They just, it's hard to take them seriously. They're kind of like the Cleveland Browns of the NHL.
I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to take the Sharks. No reason, really. I just feel like the Sharks are going to be that fourth team.
Honestly, it's a roll of a dice in this division. It could be any. It's not going to be Los Angeles. It's not going to be. No, it's just not going to be Los Angeles.
There's also a ton of games being played very quickly. Like, they're basically, it's like 120 something days, and they're getting all the games done.
Yeah.
Like, they're not really taking a ton of days off. So who knows if that's a factor. A lot of these teams that have like two okay goalies that share a workload might be better off than, say, a team that has one superstar that's used to play in 60 something games with
like
the rest.
Like a Carey Price.
You
like
are Carey
Price.
Yeah.
They got Jake Allen too, right? So
yeah, we got Jake Allen now. Great. so good. So glad. So I think we're all in consensus though about the top three in that division, right?
Nothing I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, this is a crazy division alignment, but it's such a good one. Like, Colorado is going to eat these people up. Same with Vegas. St. Louis might be on a bit of a downswing, but still, I like their roster better than anybody else. Yeah. Arizona, I do like that because they don't give up goals, but they also don't score goals. But I did draft my boy Phil Kessel in a fantasy draft last night, and I'm Kellen, 25-56, Kessel. Let's do it. Get that one ball swinging, baby.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say Phil Kessel's going to get 56 assists?
No, I said 25 goals in 56 games.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, okay. I see how you took that now. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what were you high on last night? But never mind.
But fuck this division.
The Central, moving on up, has the Canes, the Blackhawks, the Jackets, the Stars, the Wings, the Panthers, the Preds, and the Lightning. So this is kind of the mix East-West division.
Yeah, this one is going to be, I think Tampa, I think we can all agree Tampa probably rolls and wins this division. After that, I think, Jesus, when I look at it now, it's not quite as intense as I thought. I mean, I'm putting Dallas back up there.
So I have Tampa, I have Carolina, I have Dallas if they can score a goal, and I think I have Columbus. Chicago would have been there, but they're down some big names right now, and I think they're basically in a rebuild.
I want to interject something real quick. So I just want to be clear here. Are we completely dismissing Dallas making the Stanley Cup Finals last year? Is that what's happening?
Oh, here? I'm not at all. I think Dallas finishes the top four here.
Oh, okay. Because it sounded like they were getting left out. I'm like, who the hell replaces them? But never mind.
No, I put them in. I put them in my top four.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Steve, are you here tonight, Steve?
Not until we get to the North Division. No, I'm not. If you think in your lifetime I'm watching a Central Division hockey game this season, you are smoking that good crack.
I got to be honest with you. It's still better than the Raptors right now, so I'd still do it. give me Canes Jackets all day right now.
Yeah. I don't know if the Hurricanes are. I'm not at all sure if I was confident in the Hurricanes as you are, Dave. Though, I don't know.
They're the only team that I think has an identity.
I think,
if I'm being real, I think they know who they are and they know how to play, and they play for Brind'Amour, and I think they'll get it done.
I think Columbus is probably a lock because of how they play, but you look at Nashville and Florida, they're right there. But you know, that's going to be an interesting battle right till the end. I mean, what it all comes down to this season is how you do head-to-head with all these teams. So imagine watching Dallas and Columbus 8 times. Oh, my God.
I'd rather gouge my eyes.
Yeah.
I watched entirely too many Blue Jackets games last year to ever want to watch a team.
So boring.
Oh, God.
The good news is you guys don't have to face the Blue Jackets or the Bruins until later on. Possibly the playoffs. Let's figure it out.
I'm not entirely certain this Bruins team is actually going to make it out of this division.
Well, let's figure it out. The Bruins, the Sabres, the Devils, the Islanders, Rangers, Flyers, Pens, and Caps. So are we thinking the Pens and Caps are still there? Yeah.
Yeah. Washington, yes. Pittsburgh, like Boston, I don't know.
I don't know if Pittsburgh's missing. They still have Sidney Crosby. They're not
I know. That's how they count that out. When I look at this division, I think of that Taylor Hall signing that 1 year deal in Buffalo. And now I'm like, buddy, you ain't making the playoffs this year.
No, but he could probably, he'll probably, like, that Buffalo team may cause enough disruption to, like, hurt one of these teams, really, all these teams in some way, shape, or
form. Buffalo always causes a disruption for, like, the first quarter of the season.
Yeah.
The good news is there's a very short time frame right now for them to fuck it up, to be honest with you.
The bad news is they got to play some difficult teams. Like,
so, the Isles are good, aren't they? Or do they lose everybody?
No, they're still going to play the trap, though. It doesn't really matter who they have.
Oh, more of them. Yeah. People wonder why I don't watch the North Division. Yeah, Philly's good. I see Philly, Capitals, Penguins, Boston, and the Islanders. Like, it's going to come down to those teams, right?
Yeah, but the shit. The Rangers too, though. I mean, they're on the up and up.
Yeah, I suppose they made the playoffs last year.
They got swept by Carolina in that play-in round.
But then they get the first overall pick kid that everyone's like got the hard pick for lately.
So, LeFrank.
Yeah, he's good.
Until he does something, I'm not going to even bother trying to pronounce his name.
That's okay. LaFrenière.
All right, so it took us 10 minutes to go over the divisions that we don't care about. If you're not from the North, I don't apologize. Get fucked. It's hockey season. This is our time.
It's our DNA, mother. Yeah, that's right.
The NHL. Bevin finally divided our country, baby. He finally divided our country.
Here's how real it is right now. The other night, I was trying to figure out who was winning the gold medal game in the World Juniors. And I never go to Sportsnet or TSN or any Canadian outlets. I always go to American outlets. And I realize Americans don't cover the World Juniors whatsoever. So they don't really give a shit about us. And we Canadians, since it's in our DNA and we actually have like ice hockey in our blood, I doubt any Americans give a shit. Let's get into the North Division where it really happens.
So we've got a couple of fun things here. We've got Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. So Ottawa. I kind of want to. So there's a couple of things that really excite me about this division more than every other division. And I think obviously there's a lot of bias here. I'm not even going to try to hide it. The fact that I get to watch rivalry games kind of rebuild and grow, we get to see Montreal, Toronto play a whole bunch. We get to see a bunch of people. Everybody gets to beat up on Ottawa, so everybody's having fun with that.
Yeah, there's only like 6.25 teams in this division, so it's actually really good. It's gotta be the sweetest division of them all, right?
You know, so who doesn't make in this division? Let's try to break down a little bit and go. Where you see people's chances. Do you see Calgary making a push?
I feel like we should actually just break down team by team. Since we live in Canada, we seem to get massive coverage. I think we should start with the Oilers.
You want to start with the Oilers?
Well, we're going to save the best for last, obviously, so let's start with the Oilers.
Let's rip on Edmonton a little bit.
Hell yeah, baby!
I do think Edmonton can probably slide in and get that fourth spot. Because I think we all know who the top three teams are going to be, Montreal, Toronto, Calgary. The thing with Edmonton is they go down, they start the season 1-6. That could be it for them. And their goaltending, I'm sorry, but they did nothing to upgrade their goaltending. And if anything, the defense took a step back by signing Tyson Barrie.
Kosher salt before I'm there.
However, Edmonton's going to score 8 times a game. They just might get outscored 9-8 sometimes by a couple of teams. But like they should be able to move into that fourth spot and make it easily. But Jesus, the Calgary and Edmonton playing each other 8 times. Let's talk about who gets to spend it first and how many games.
So the Oilers start with Vancouver twice, Montreal twice, Toronto twice, Winnipeg twice, and then Toronto again twice. So they go Vancouver, Vancouver, Montreal, Montreal, Toronto, Toronto, Winnipeg, Winnipeg, Toronto, Toronto. Yeah, they don't get Ottawa until the end of the month.
I think the Leafs play Edmonton like 6 times in the first goddamn 30 days. Like, what's going on here?
Oh, it's going to be glorious.
You don't play Edmonton at all on the back half of the schedule.
Yeah, like those. I know we played them 3 times in a row at the end of February. It's like, what's going on here? They're really going to make me hate McDavid.
I mean, in all fairness, like how many 9-6 hockey games can you watch, right?
Like, oh, well, I mean, all of them.
every last one of them.
Yeah, I'm a Leafs fan, so I'll be watching all of them, but you're right, it will get tiresome.
In fact, if the whole season schedule was Leafs Oilers, I would probably be like pissing in my pants with excitement. So that's how much I can't wait to watch these games.
Yeah, Edmonton's got such a solid top two or one and a half lines, but we already know that Draisaitl is just as good with or without McDavid, so he can have his own line. It's just finding that extra depth that they just don't have. And I'm sorry, but Mike Smith is too old. Mikko Koskinen, I have no idea how he got his contract in the first place, but he's not a bona fide NHL goaltender, in my opinion.
I mean, let's be fair here. Outside of Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and McDavid, there's not a lot of bona fide NHLers on the Edmonton Oilers.
Tyler Ennis.
Oh, four. I apologize. I forgot one. I have such a bone to pick with the Oilers. Like I don't. It ties into my never-ending rant about the Hart Trophy. How is the second best player on your team the MVP of the league? Can someone explain that to me? I need someone to be able, like in every other sport, the MVP is clear in a way the best player on a team.
And it's hold your horses here. Last year, Draisaitl was clearly the best player on that team. Maybe it's because McDavid missed some time, but Draisaitl, you know, he's like top five in the NHL here.
But who's number one?
I mean, it depends on the year. People still call Crosby number one. It really depends on the year. I mean, McDavid had a great season, but he missed time, and Draisaitl literally carries this team.
Okay.
Steve's pretending like he actually watched enough hockey to make this prognosticate.
That's why I cut him off before he went on the rant. I'm trying to cut him off again.
All I know is I'm the only one to pick the Oilers to lose to the Blackhawks last year in the postseason thing, and then they proceeded to do that, so you can all suck my dick from the back. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he does have that point, I guess.
If we go to Calgary, which is where I want to go to next.
I don't, but let's go there anyway.
Their schedule is also unforgiving. Christ. Like, who's got the easy end of this? Who plays Ottawa a bunch of times early on? Is it Montreal and Toronto?
Toronto plays them twice in the first week, I think.
So Calgary's got Winnipeg, Vancouver, Vancouver, Toronto, Toronto, Montreal, Montreal. And by the time they're finished playing Montreal, I'm pretty sure that Tkachuk is going to be suspended. So,
well, I'm thinking about it. I think Tkachuk saves a suspension until at least the third Battle of Alberta.
Which is what, game four?
It
was a joke, but never mind.
Yeah. I guess. Oops.
They don't play Edmonton until February.
But then that just means they play them eight times in an even less amount of time.
That's
great.
Yes.
I mean, just to see what happened last season when they played each other like three times kind of in a row. Like, I think it was three times in like 8 days. And then bullshit. And
so you're ready for this? The way Calgary ends their season, April 22nd, they have Montreal. 24th, they have Montreal. 26th, they have Montreal. Okay? That's all on the East Coast, or all on the West Coast. Then they go to Edmonton for two games, Winnipeg for a game, Edmonton for a game, Vancouver for a game. That's how they close out the year.
Yeah.
Edmonton, three out of five last games. Three out of six.
So we keep raising a point here of like they don't get Ottawa early on. But if you get a backloaded schedule against Ottawa, that could greatly increase your chances as well. Just saying.
I think you're not wrong, but we got to cover Ottawa next because I think we're giving them a little bit too much of a hard time. With that being said, I think Calgary is easily top three in this division. I love their goaltending. I love their defense. I think they can score. I think they're well coached. Discipline is going to be a big problem, and if they do get a million suspensions, well, what can you do? But as long as Tkachuk's not breaking Austin Matthews' ankles, I don't really care what he does.
He's going to.
That juju in the universe. We don't need that shit.
The Senators start with Toronto twice, Winnipeg three times, Vancouver three times, and then Edmonton. The Senators are going to be a different team than I think. So I know that we're joking around and we're saying Ottawa is your easy kind of walkover game. They're going to win some games.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know about that. I'm going to argue a point here real quick. I say Eugene Melnyk forces this team to lose while the other owners pay him $100 a game so he can keep making money. I think that's what's going to happen with the Senators team. I think the Senators team will probably lose the first 20 games just on bribes paid to Melnyk. That's just me. It'll be like Major League when they're trying to make the team lose. I think Melnyk's doing that this year because there's no fan revenue and he can't run any charities because he got exposed. So he needs to do something to make money.
He just puts all his players on injury reserve and collects that insurance money to pay the rest of the salaries and technically barely hits the floor, but still somehow manages. My beef with Ottawa is regular season history is they just whoop the Leafs' ass all the fucking time. So I just expect that we're going to lose seven times to this team, and I hate it. They are almost identical to what they were last year, but they did win some games last year. You know, they weren't as – I mean, they were terrible, but, I mean, they beat the Leafs twice, I think. who's Snicker? Come on.
No, I was actually sniffing, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was Dave, and I was about to rip it. They beat the Habs, too.
Yeah, they but did.
They do have – they are going to be an up-and-down exciting team. They're going to go back and forth. They're going to give up some goals.
So let's not – so they have Matt Murray in goal now.
Yep.
So that's an upgrade.
We think it is. Craig Anderson wasn't, you know, that terrible.
No, but Matt Murray should be better.
He should be. I hope he's $6.5 million contract good, but.
Apparently Nikita Zaitsev is here.
Oh, yeah. So Zaitsev is, it's going back to the Leafs, and Steve is probably going to contest me, but fuck Steve. Zaitsev was a really good defensive defenseman for us. He just didn't want to be a defensive defenseman and hated Babcock. He was all offense in Russia, and we put him in this role, which he was damn good at, but he hated it. So he did the same for Ottawa last year, but he just got some drama in his life, stealing babies from his wife. And I mean,
Thomas Chabot's in there. White is pretty good. Steppen's old as all hell.
I just assume Steppen's going right on long-term injury reserve, but
so you could say Steppen's getting to Steppen then, right?
Like yeah, basically, that's a salary dump somehow.
Whatever's left of Alex Galchenyuk is on this team.
Oh my god, I forgot they signed Galchenyuk. Yeah, that's interesting.
How old is Galchenyuk? Like he's only at oldest he's 30.
Yeah, I don't even think he's 30. But my god, did his career not go as it planned?
Can I tell you how old he is? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
He's 26.
He's not even technically old enough to be an unrestricted free agent, except the fact he's moved teams six times.
Yes.
Oh, he was drafted in 2012. We've covered that in the past. That draft is a wash.
Like, he just never...
So his problem was always that he thought he was a centerman. And when he played at center and he was happy, he would score. 15-16, he scored 30 goals and 26 assists. The problem is he doesn't know how to play center. He doesn't know how to do the job that he wants to do.
And when they put him on left wing, he cries and like he's a baby about it. I mean, he's a bad center, but he's fast as hell up the boards. I don't get it.
Yeah, if he would ever just agree to play wing, he'd be fine. I mean, he put up 41 points in the desert, and then he went to Pittsburgh for the 45 games, and he put up 17 points. And then I think he got traded to Minnesota. Is that right? Yeah.
I don't even remember him.
It's seven points for the Wild.
When would he play for the Wild? I don't even remember that.
1920.
Jeez. I don't even remember him with the Wild. I thought he was in Arizona the whole year.
Montreal, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, now Ottawa. He's on his fifth team. He's 26 years old. He screams problem player with lots of skill and upside. It is a perfect Melnyk project. Tell me I'm wrong though. Like
it's just perfect.
Let me see the guy that has all the talent in the world, but you know all the personal problems, and we'll take him to Ottawa because he just doesn't know how to get along with coaches or do what they asked.
Yeah, it's really funny to put the train wreck with the train wreck.
It's funny because everything you just described sounds like Alexei Kovalev did back in the day. It's amazing how much that mirrors.
100%.
Yeah, one of them was just way better than the other.
Yeah, Kovalev was better.
Yeah. Kovalev would occasionally show up and be like, oh, you want goals? Let me show you something. Yeah. And then he put up a hattie and you'd be like, holy cow, that guy's really good. And then he would get slashed on the hands and he's like, I'm not playing anymore.
I don't want to distract from like what we're building to the main event here, but Alexei Kovalev may have been the most skilled hockey player I've ever seen. He just only showed it once every
Doom of Fortnite, we'll say. Like, yep. He's just like, every 40 days, that Kovalev would show up, and you'd be like, God damn. And then he would recede back into the hole like a groundhog every year. But yeah, let's move on.
One thing I want to mention about Ottawa that really goes under the radar is they did lose Anthony DeClaire, whatever. Why ever he decided to be his own representative in a COVID year is beyond me. But they signed Evgeny, I think it's Evgeny Dandanoff from Florida, yeah, as a free agent.
Yep.
He's not underrated, but he's going to come out and he's going to be last year's DeClaire. He's going to pot 30 goals.
Yeah, easily.
And Thomas Chabot is easily going to be minus 40 like he was last year. But Thomas Chabot will be a superstar, don't get me wrong. Just stay off the Uber and get yourself on film talking shit about your team. But
yeah. Yeah.
But Ottawa, like, we joke, we roll over. We're Habs and Leafs fans, and we're biased. No joke there. So we both hate Ottawa equally. Can't argue there.
No. Do you guys want to go Winnipeg next?
Yeah, why sure. not? Let's cover Winnipeg.
Because I really want Winnipeg to succeed. Like, I do. I'm like, there's nothing. I don't like them. I'm not a Jets fan. I wasn't a Jets fan before, although I do like Teemu Selanne.
That's so long ago that doesn't even count. Keep moving.
I understand that.
Technically, they're different franchises, to be fair.
Exactly.
Yes. Fine. I like
to Randy the Barbarian Cronin is not walking through that door. Also, because I think he's dead. He killed himself because he's one of those old hockey goons. But anyway, here nor there. Keep moving. I'm sorry.
No, keep going.
I want the Jets to succeed because I don't want it to be a reflection of hockey in Canada like it was before. Like, there was such a strain to get them back. I remember feeling like it was such a good news thing when the Jets finally came back, and then they were pretty good and they had a lot of players that were playing well. And I mean, there was so much positive that was available for the Jets, and they just don't ever take the step. They're always good.
I think they were never,
but they're never great. If that makes sense. Like, they're always right. They're a playoff team. They'll probably push for a playoff position this year. I don't think they'll get it. I think they'll push, but they're in tough against a lot of other teams that are equally as good. And like you said, it's going to come down to record and who they play. They play the Flames, the Leafs, the Sens. So they've got the Senators three times in the first week. And I have a feeling you're going to be talking about how great the Jets are when they're, 3-2, and they're like, well, they're really moving. It'd be like 4-1, and they like beat the Flames opening night. They'll lose to the Leafs, beat the Sens 3 in a row, and then they're going to go up against the Oilers, and they're going to go on a losing streak, and they'll be like, never mind, fire Maurice, do whatever you got to do. It's just they have a front-loaded schedule, Steve was mentioning. It's not a bad thing to have Ottawa on the back end. In this case, I think that this might be a detriment to the Jets themselves. I want them to succeed. I just don't see it happening.
They have so many factors working against them, including the smallest arena in the NHL. I know how small their arena is, that when Rage Against the Machine announced a reunion tour, I bought tickets for the Winnipeg show just because I knew it was the smallest arena on the entire tour. So they will always have that working against them. They're always going to also have the fact that nobody wants to go to Winnipeg working against them. However, they draft well and they develop well. And I think they have a really good head coach. Two big factors this season, and we're not even going to talk about Connor Hellebuck because he'll probably still be solid. Patrick Laine, does he want to play there? Because he's already requested a trade. But I think it's a lot harder to move a guy like Patrick Laine in these current COVID times than it would be normally. So if he shows up and wants to play and doesn't pull his score 20 goals in 1 month and then never hear from him again shit, they got a chance. But a big question mark is Mark Scheifele recovered from what happened to him in the bubble last year? I think it was an Achilles. Not easy to come back from. If he can play his A game, they would challenge Edmonton for that fourth spot, in my opinion, 100%.
Okay, so I got a question here. I don't remember. What kind of Achilles injury did he have?
It was a cut. Like, I can't even remember who did it. It was to Chuck, I think, in Calgary. And I got the back of his Achilles with his skate.
So he didn't cut it, though? He just like
Yeah, it was cut, yeah. Like, that was the problem.
But did it separate?
I don't know. He never played another game.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: is that only happened like 4 or 5 months ago?
So listen, he's at training camp.
He's gonna play. But I mean, Erik Karlsson played too after he had his Achilles all fixed up, and look how that went.
I know.
Yeah. So we'll see how he goes. If he's on his A game, though, I mean, he's one of the best. I really like they brought Paul Stastny back. Him and Line A seemed to gel really well together when he was there that other year. But, I mean, if Line A doesn't want to be there and acts like he doesn't want to be there, which I think he's very capable of being that kind of guy, just being a little bitch about it the entire time, then they're fucked.
Yeah. All right, then.
They also... I mean, their defense is also taking a bad step back. You don't just lose by fuggling and recover. But they got RFA that also wants out on defense that they haven't re-signed yet. The name is slipping me, but he was... Not that the name is slipping me, it's I can't pronounce it. It's like Petrovic or something.
Oh, so Petrovic is hard to pronounce, but I can't pronounce Lafrenzone or whatever the fuck his name is, and I get shit. I see how it is.
Right. He's French-Canadian, not from Brooklyn. Hey, Lafrenzo, where's the beat? No, I better not say that. Cut that out.
We're live, pal.
All right, let's get
I don't edit this. This is not edited. It's going to happen.
We're live, pal.
Oh, shit.
I put Steve saying that Anaheim was in Florida on here. You're going to be cut in here, too.
Oh, well.
But it is.
2021 is about time I got canceled.
If that gets you canceled, Chief, I don't know what else to tell you.
But again, just back to Winnipeg for a quick second, though. We all forget, Hellebuck did win the Vezina. I mean, he's not a goalie to mess around with, but, you know, the goalie can only do so much, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I don't see Paul Maurice ever getting fired from Winnipeg unless he quits.
100%. You are correct.
They can't afford to pay a coach and have it. Like, they can't afford that.
No. Do you want to take a look at Vancouver before we delve into our own teams?
Yes, let's do the Canucks. I don't know what you guys feel about the Canucks. I know they went to, the conference finals against they lost to Vegas in the second round, took it to game 7. Yeah. They took a massive step backwards by losing Markstrom to me.
You think so?
I do, because I don't think Holtby is quite what he is used to be, and I don't think Demko is going to be ready. I also think they lost a bit on defense, but they did get the guy from Vegas there when Vegas got Petrangelo. Why is it Shane? Come on, help me out here, one of you guys.
You're why I watch Vancouver Canuck games, and I apologize.
I don't watch Vancouver.
The best part about this is listening to you struggle on this. So
I know. Jesus Christ. Anyway, they got the guy from – they got basically Vegas' number one defenseman after Vegas got Petrangelo, so that will help them. But losing Troy Skecher, that's tough. JT Miller is not putting up 74 points again. However, Elias Pettersson is definitely a bona fide superstar. He can change a game.
I don't know if this is accurate still because it's not updated, but they're saying that the Canucks have Jordy Benn.
Maybe. I mean, Jordy Benn's a seventh defenseman as far as I'm concerned. But
Nate Schmidt?
Schmidt! There we go. That's the guy they got from Vegas when they unloaded the salary. Nate Schmidt, great fucking defenseman. Easily their number one.
Well, Quinn Hughes is there.
Well, yeah. Take
that step as well.
I assume they'll play together because they kind of offset each other.
Yeah. They have Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
He's a middle defenseman. He's a 3-4 guy.
He's good because he's long. They just signed Travis Hamonic to a PTO, but there's a guaranteed contract for him, so he'll also help. Although I was looking up Travis Hamonic's like advanced stats the other day because I was like, how is this guy not signed? He's you know, he's big. He's always been solid. But, yeah, he's actually – his statistics are nowhere near what I thought they were when he was an Islander or a Flame. But, yeah, still, he's a big body to throw in there. Travis Green's a really good coach. But I just – Markstrom was a superstar. Calgary really wins there.
I wonder if the Finnish defenseman they have, Olli Juolevi.
Juolevi, yeah.
Yeah. he could take a step as well.
He could. I don't remember how many games he actually played last year, but I could see him probably playing full time this year.
One or two? He didn't play a lot.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but at the very least, I mean, he's
a fifth overall pick, so we're not saying that he's not garbage. He's a defenseman. He just takes a lot of time.
Defensemen just take forever.
22. Like, we're not talking about Galchenyuk at 26 being old here.
No. Still can't believe Galchenyuk's only 26. Jesus. It feels like he's lived three lives in the NHL.
He probably feels that way. He's probably talking like he's probably sitting beside like Joe Thornton talking about like their like long travels, and Thornton's like, the fuck are you talking about, guy? Yeah. Like 26?
Vancouver, though, they're always that interesting team because they really weren't supposed to perform like they did last year. But I mean, again, Pettersson is a superstar. He can change a game. I mean, he's one of those players. But yeah. Sorry, Vancouver. You ain't making it. Get out of here.
So you don't think they're in?
No, and I'm going to hate staying up until 11:30 to watch all the goddamn games they play against Toronto, too.
Oh, like you sleep anyway.
Amazing. All right, which way do you want to go first?
We'll do your team. Let's do the Habs.
Save the best for last, Dave. We already covered this.
We covered our eventual Stanley Cup champions last, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Dave, before you go, I'm conceding already. I think the Habs are a very good and dangerous team, and I hate that you signed Corey Perry.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, elaborate why you hate that they signed Corey Perry, because you told me. I don't think you told Dave.
Because I don't want to see him 8 times in the regular season, and the first fucking ankle he breaks with his stick on my team, I'm going to lose it. I do not need this guy slashing Austin Matthews' ankles and wrists.
You know he's gonna.
Oh, I know he's going to. I wanted him to come home. I have, like, you guys got him for league minimum, and we're spending $1.5 million on Wayne's. Just don't even start.
Yeah.
I think Corey Perry is going to be the more effective player over Wayne Simmonds. And in the playoffs, Corey Perry, like, yeah, his regular season, he shit the bed last year, too, in the regular season. He's not going to score 40 goals. But when playoffs come around, you want Corey Perry in your lineup. And this, I mean, he is perfect for Montreal's fourth line. God damn Montreal. Montreal also stole the defenseman I wanted Toronto to sign in Joel Edmundston.
Yeah, he was good. That was a good pickup, too.
And now you guys have guys who can score. Put the puck in the net on your wings. And assuming your centers like Suzuki, who's a superstar, takes a step forward, and your hard forechecking game, oh, God, we're going to block each other on Facebook. I know it.
So the positives I see and that I hope for in Montreal are Cole Caulfield, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and Suzuki. Everything else is a wild card for me. Tommy Taters will probably score some goals, I hope.
Tommy Taters. I love that.
he's one of the guys that you just kind of like. You just like him. I mean, he's a hard working, but he's a small guy.
I love him because of that internet video with the guy, Tatar! And then Tatar brought him to the game. Like, that was just a heartwarming moment. But yeah, he's going to score some goals.
Gallagher's going to do Gallagher things.
Yes. Gallagher and Perry teaming up. Yep. Keep making me angry.
Drouin is probably going to disappear like he always does. Arturi Lehkonen's going to skate faster than everyone on the ice and not score. He's going to rip it wide. This is what he does as well.
Yep.
And then that fourth line is going to be a mix of, like, Paul Byron's going to skate faster than everyone again. And also, like, he's going to get on some breaks and makes it. He always makes, like, at least one good play a year. And people are like, why isn't this guy playing more? And then you see the rest of his highlights, and you're like, that's why. That makes sense.
He plays your PK a bit, doesn't he? Isn't he more like a – yeah. So, I mean, he's valuable of that. Yeah.
He's quick. That's his thing. The Montreal – if you want someone that can skate fast and handle a puck, you grab someone on Montreal's, like, third or fourth line. If you want someone that can score, look elsewhere because we don't have
– do you think Caulfield's going to make the team there? I don't think he does.
So with the Perry signing, maybe not. He might. It depends. It depends on what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and it's a tough year for this because, you know, where does he go? We think the AHL is going to start. We think the junior hockey is going to start, but we don't know.
And I mean, like, I don't know. The defense corps is the defense corps.
You guys have a wicked defense corps. Come on.
It's always been pretty solid. Yes, yeah. I know.
Okay, sorry. I read your code.
No. It's frustrating because from goaltender to the blue line, Montreal is pretty well constructed. Not great. They're not incredible. They're very well, like, they're solid. And if you put, like, the group of forwards in Toronto on that team, you've got a, like, multi-year dynasty-winning team because those guys can score and everyone behind can stop. The problem is we have the exact opposite problem.
Yeah,
Montreal, you guys have all the top-moving defensemen in the world. No one that'll pot the net. And, I mean, Carey Price is Carey Price.
Yeah. I know it's a short season, 56 games. I don't know how – I think most Habs fans are okay with Jake Allen and the salary right now just because it didn't really affect them. I think having Jake Allen play and giving Price a bit of a rest only helps this team because I think Jake Allen's good every third or fourth game. He's just not a starter.
Yeah.
So that really helps you guys a lot. I have no problem saying that Montreal is the second best team in this division. And it's your forecheck. My God, you guys can forecheck. That's, you know, it's rough and tough. It's been a long ass time since Leafs and Habs fans could say, damn, we're going to have a real rivalry this year. The games are going to mean something.
Yeah, it's been one way or the other for the last bunch of seasons.
Yeah.
The Jake Allen signing frustrates me a little bit, I'll be honest. It frustrates me a bit because there are other holes on this team, and I don't know if a backup goalie for Carey Price or a potential, like, I don't want to say replacement because that's, but like a transition goalie from Carey Price kind of worries. I assume that Caden Primo is the guy they want to replace him.
They did that so they can protect Primo at the draft next year, so it kind of makes sense.
Sure.
But I mean, I see how you have the frustration for sure. I would have been frustrated too. But then you kind of think about it like, oh, well, we're not going to ride Price all 56 games. That could be a really good thing.
Well, yeah, you need Price. You're going to need Price to do things.
Yeah, you definitely will. Yeah.
It is.
Initial shock, 4.5 for a backup. Okay, oh my God, what? But then you think about all the aspects and how much cap space Montreal had and just the market this year of, you know, not really being able to do much anyway. I got to give Bergeron credit. He makes some moves that really are pretty damn good sometimes. I know he pisses off all the Habs fans, but I look at this team right.
You know what? There are way worse.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all could have Dave Nonis up in there. Like,
I'll give Bergie this. Shooter's going to shoot, and I would rather a GM that tries things and fails than a guy that's like, well, you know, we had opportunity. We had lots of irons in the like. How many times as a Jays fan, Steve, are you watching like even like Anthopoulos before he made all those deals with like, we had lots of irons in the fire, but nothing came to fruition. And you're like, fuck me. We're right on the edge. Can you make a move? Like
That's been every year up until – that was every year from Anthopoulos back to like – the Clemens team, right? Yeah. Well, 2015. Yeah. So, like, you go back to, like, the 97-98 Blue Jays to 2015. That was us at the beginning of every year. We could make some noise, whether it was, like, you know, upstart Eric Hinsky, I think his name
Eric
was.
Yeah.
Like, it never mattered. It was always, like, there's hope here. There's youth in the pitching rotation. There's this and there's that. And rather than capitalize on that youth all those years, we never did. Until Anthopoulos was like, you know what? We're going to do it this time. We're going to trade this stud of a pitcher, and what turned out to be an injury prone, but a stud of a catcher, and we're going to trade him for a 44-year-old knuckleballer.
Isn't this kind of what the Jays are doing now? All their irons are in the fire, and literally we've done nothing, and Lindor just got traded to the Mets, and...
Yeah. I mean, it's different. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not gonna bash that trade today. There's reasons it was made. Lindor doesn't have as much trade value as people think.
Did anyone see Stroman's tweet that he quickly took down after the trade? If not, go find it. This is, you know,
I stopped following Marcus Stroman after he posted a photo of docking his dog's ears. So yeah.
Oh, fuck him. Yeah,
exactly.
So what did the tweet say? Give me that idiot stuff.
I'd have to look it up, but he said something along the lines about the franchise doesn't know how to build a winning team and use the young assets they have. And then like an hour later, they got the Lindor trade and he deleted it instantly.
Amazing.
Yeah, Stroman is, he's one of those fun guys on social media sometimes.
God bless him and his 6.8 ERA. He's still with the Mets?
Yes.
Not good for him.
I mean, back to the Habs, though. Like, dude, the chirping. I know we're not going to all get to go to bars and all that fun stuff and watch the Leafs and Habs rivalries, probably. But the chirping is, like, I can give it and I can take it. My God, if I got to take it on the wrong day after a Leafs and Habs heated matchup, I could be going, my Facebook might be interesting.
Well, that would be a nice change. Anyway.
Touché.
Hungover rants aside.
I think the Habs are probably safe to make it so long as they don't start like painfully slow. I don't think anybody can afford to start slow. You can start okay. You don't need to win everything going out. You just can't go down six. Like, you can't go down 1-6.
No. I don't think the Habs will. I think the Habs are safe that won't happen. However, I think all of these teams are going to teeter pretty close to 500 at the end of the season. But, it's going to be fun. I mean, for me, as I'm 35, the Leafs, obviously my first memory of the Leafs is 93, and then we got moved to the East, and My rivalry's always been Ottawa. I grew up hating Ottawa because of those years. So to have this fresh Toronto-Montreal rivalry.
Stop for a second. You grew up hating Ottawa because you kept beating them over and over again. You're like, damn it, I got to beat them again. This is awful. Oh, they make me so angry. Oh, yeah, I hate when we sweep them.
I guess we had to meet them in the playoffs every year, but we also lost every single fucking regular season game to them at humanly possible. We got Darcy Tucker jumping in benches.
But then you routinely, except for 2004, you basically routinely spanked them. We routinely spanked them every postseason. For what, three straight years? Four straight years, was it?
Yeah, no, three or four, I think.
Yeah, it was a pretty convincing.
We beat them, but again, fans got big mouths, and I can only take so much if I'm on the liquor.
Like, there's such thing as Ottawa Senator fans. If there was,
Melbourne. So I went to university during the double graduation in Ontario. So my entire fucking house at Howe Hall at Dal was people from Ottawa who loved the Senators. It was tough. And then I think that year we shut them out. Like, Balfour shut them out. Like, what, three of
That's
four
2004.
Games?
That's the one that went seven.
No. I'm thinking of the one that went like five games. It was 2000. I don't remember.
No, because did we only have Belfour for 2004 and 2006?
Yes.
Then it would have been Cujo?
No, I'm thinking of the Belfour series because he shut like. Well, maybe it was Cujo. It was Cujo and like '03. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't like Ottawa, but I'll never forget when Daniel Alfredsson mocked Matt Sundin, and that will always hurt me.
Yeah, except for that, like, motivated the Leafs to come back and beat them.
Well, in the playoffs, but that was regular season. We lost. Anyway, let's move on to the bread and butter, boys.
So the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The who?
The Toronto Maple Leafs, like the University of Miami.
So.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
God bless you, Taxi Squad, because all that does is help us get around our goddamn salary cap issues in the easiest way possible, because we can just send up and down every day, and nobody has to go to Toronto, and all the players we're going to have don't have to clear waivers, and it just really helps a team that spent too much money on four forwards. thank you. It also helps that our like assistant GM wrote the cap, but you know, any advantage you can for money. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think we all know the obvious locks to make the team, but was everybody just as shocked as I was when Joe Thornton was announced at practicing with Marner and Matthews?
Yes, although I liked it. I don't know why. He's not going to play 20 minutes a night, so he's probably not going to stay there. We had this conversation. But I love Joe Thornton, and I want Joe Thornton to win a Stanley Cup, and I feel like this is what we need to bring together. The Leafs have always never, ever brought that, like, never one guy. That old guy at the end of his run in, I think this is like the right like chakra, if you would.
So I think he starts in the first line. I think he ends up like a third liner, maybe a fourth liner, maybe gets some power play 2 minutes. But I think he's just out there to like – I don't like Matthews and Marner together, to be honest with you.
Me either. I don't like that either. However, just to correct you, because maybe we did bring Patrick Marleau in at the end of his career, he just
decided – Marlowe's still in the goddamn league.
He just decided he wanted to keep playing for some reason.
What about Jason Spezza?
Jason Spezza.
Yeah, but Spezza, like, Spezza's not Joe Thornton. I like Jason Spezza, but he's not Joe Thornton.
I wonder, I'm not looking it up, but I wonder how similar their actual career totals are.
Not even close.
I don't know if they're that far off.
I'll do it right now since I'm on a laptop. You guys keep talking. I'll do it while you talk.
So here's the thing. I think Toronto's obviously making the playoffs. There's no question in my mind that they're making the playoffs, unless for some reason you get like a classic old school Freddie Anderson start. And Jack Campbell can't help, and Hutchison gets called up and he can't help.
Oh, okay. First of all, Hutchison is not getting called up. Don't even joke about that. There's a guy ahead of him, Aaron Dell.
Yeah.
However, we might lose him on waivers somehow. I don't know how that's going to work, but don't even, no Hutchison getting called up jokes, please. I can only take so much.
They're going to make the playoffs. I guess my main question is, how do you have 14 guys signed on defense and not one of them can play?
Oh! Wow.
You better put some respect on Morgan Riley, TJ Brody, and Jake Muzzin's names. The rest of them are all out.
Snap, crackle, and pop. This is the most defensive depth we've had since I've been a Leafs fan, in my opinion.
There's two. Oh, okay. There's three. There's usually only one, and one is really usually not that good. So we got three now.
You have 14 defensemen signed. You have three right wingers. One of them is Wayne Simmonds. You have 14 defensemen signed.
Okay, we have more than three right wingers. Come on.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm looking at it right now. You have players that play the right wing, but like...
Oh, yeah, we have like 14 centers too, technically.
We have Seth Thornton and Matthews. Like, yeah, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Tavares. Okay, so let's discuss our defense first, because that's really the elephant in the room. TJ Brody and Morgan Riley. This is the best player we've ever had to play with Morgan Riley. That really should be a solid pair. But here's the guy that nobody really talked about, who is my ace and what is going to change our defense for the better. And I think I'm almost positive he is going to make the team coming out of training camp. And it's a man named Mikko Lehtinen from the KHL Finnish. I don't know if anyone remembers when he was in the World Juniors for Finland, but he ripped it up. He is the defenseman of the year in the KHL. He can score. By God, he can put points up, but he can defend. And if he can adjust to the NHL really quickly, I think this guy will be shooting at the lineup and will be playing in Justin Hall's spot real quickly.
In all fairness, Hall and Muzzin have pretty good chemistry together.
They do. I think Hall is a lock, although I didn't like what he said yesterday in an interview when he said The Sopranos was an old people show.
Wow, he can suck my entire...
That's almost putting on waivers worthy, but...
Yeah, I mean, let's go let him. Is Marincin available? Is Marincin available? Clearly, he needs to go. We can bring Robidoff back, goddammit. Anybody, I don't like this kid anymore.
What's funny is Travis Dermott right now, according to what I read today on, you know, The Athletic and Twitter, and Travis Dermott is not in the top six right now, and that's interesting. And I think that it's probably deserved because Mikko Lehtinen is going to play him out of a spot. And for some reason, I think Bogosian, how do we pronounce his name?
Bogosian.
I think he slides in there too. But I think Bogosian is most likely to be removed. And Dermott probably gets his way back. But I want everyone to remember who listens to this podcast, and you too, Mikko Lehtinen. I'm putting my money on this guy.
All right, so we're going to give Justin his glory moment just to defecate in his ear. You ready? So he said Thornton and Spezza will be close. Spezza has 940 career points. Joe Thornton has 1,509.
Holy shit, it's that big of a difference? Damn.
Yeah, Joe Thornton, we got to remember Jumbo Joe when he was in his, like...
Yeah.
Like
up 100 points.
Yeah.
For the record, I hate Jason Spezza, and I'll never, like, I can't bring myself to like him just because of the Ottawa thing. but he fought last year, so whatever.
He motivated that team, goddammit. I like Jason Spezza, but I don't put him in that Joe Thornton category.
But defense, this is finally the year that I think our defense is like halfway decent. How that translates on the ice, God knows, but you know, on paper, we are the best team in this division. But whatever we say on paper with the Leafs, we normally finish last, so
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
We're running the Stanley Cup, goddammit. There,
I said it. I want to know what you guys think about the Wayne Simmonds signing and where he fits on this team, because it seemed like a lot of money, probably like 4 years too late
for a fourth liner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have an extra 20 minutes? I can sound off real well here. If it had been $750,000 like Corey Perry, boom, take it, sign it up. 1.5 on a cap riddled team? No. Absolutely not. How, like, yeah, we need the truculence, the toughness, whatever. If he stays healthy, yeah, bringing out the Burke terms, read his biography, got that truculence in here. If Simmonds stays healthy and can still play his game and keep up, still 1.5 for a goddamn fourth liner isn't worth it. He's not going to put up points, but he can penalty kill, and that is something we do struggle with. But we need him to stay healthy, and if he can't skate anymore, then it wasn't worth it. But I was not—I knew this was coming on July 1st. What should have been July 1st, but wasn't. What was it, like November 10th? I don't know.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. We all knew it was going to be like 1.25, 1.5, so I prepared myself for it. But the reality of it still stung. I just hope he does well.
I hope he doesn't shoot you in the foot.
He's going to shoot us in the foot. I know it. He's definitely going to. The lineup, he's apparently on the fourth line with Spezza and Barbanov. So that's interesting, but we'll see. Or Barabanov, I think they call him. I don't know. Russia.
Barabanov?
So yeah, something like that. Who is.
Alex?
He shouldn't be on the fourth line, but I understand why he is starting. We do well with our KHL signings. We really give them a chance, but. He's a goal scorer playing with Spezza and Simmonds. It's going to be weird. What it really intrigues me about the Leafs lineup, and not counting the big six, who we kind of already know, is Zach Hyman sliding down to play with Kerfoot and Mikhaev on a shutdown line. I don't know if Kerfoot's capable of that.
Well, so I'll tell you the guy that – Kerfoot's probably the guy that intrigues me most on the Leafs that isn't like a – like yeah. A big heel guy.
I agree with you. I think the same thing. I agree.
He's I think that he's probably a difference maker for you guys. He could also break you.
100%.
He could absolutely break you. In Colorado, he was a 40-point guy, 43 and 42 in like back-to-back years. He also played a lot. Like he played 70 plus games in those.
One thing, when Kerfoot's at his best, just like when he was with Colorado, he was playing on the wing and he wasn't centering his own line. And yeah. We saw last year when he was playing on the wing, he was much more effective. However, when we were in the bubble against Columbus, he was centering a bit more. And he had a pretty good series against Columbus. I don't think we necessarily need him and Hyman and Mikhaev to really produce a ton of points. But if they're going to be the shutdown line, they got to be the shutdown line. And I don't know if he's not Kadri. Right? He's not Kadri.
No, he's not.
Definitely not. I miss that guy. I don't miss the suspensions, but I miss everything else.
I miss him too.
Well, you let him go.
Yeah.
Well, did we do it to clear cap space, or did we do it because we thought Tyson Barry would actually
work? No, we did it to get Tyson Barry because we thought that was going to be our savior. And, well, good luck, Edmonton.
Let's not put the blame on Edmonton. Okay. Let's just have a moment of silence.
Dave, you like Tyson Barry because when he was on the ice against the Habs last year, he was like minus 12.
Well, that doesn't hurt, but I actually thought he was a good pickup. I thought,
you know, so did I. I was a fan of the trade. I mean, I thought it was good. It just worked out in typical Leafs fashion, and it was bad. That's just how it works. I mean, what's going to be really interesting, I think the defense is our biggest battle, where all the real matchups are going to happen. I think we're pretty set with goaltending. It's going to be Freddie and Jack. Joe Thornton, like Steve said before, he's not going to play 20 minutes a game, and we need to ride Matthews, Tavares, those guys for 20 minutes a game. So there's going to be some double shifting going on.
So as fans, Steve, what are you expecting to get out of Jumbo Joe? Not what do you want. Like, obviously you want Jumbo to be Jumbo, but like, what are you actually expecting versus what you're like, what you want? Do you want him? Like, are you looking for like an effective 10 minute guy? Or are you looking for someone that's going to come in and play hard for the second half of the season or the first half? Like, what is your expectations of a 40 plus year old in a very fast game?
I'd say 12 to 14 minutes a game max. He'll just be a clogger. He's still a great passer. It's pretty much all he has left. And my expectation in a 56 game season is probably about 20 to 25 points. I think with all that firepower around him and getting second power play minutes, unless the Leafs go crazy and do that whole craziness again where they have like their four best players on the power play.
I think he's 100% getting number one power play minutes to start.
I mean, look, all fairness, Joe Thornton's a great face-off guy, which the Leafs desperately need, which we really, truly haven't had since, like, I'd say Bozak left, and even he wasn't that great in the beginning. But, like, Bozak was probably our last great face-off guy.
How do you guys have 14 defensemen, and until this year have only a few, and you have 14 centermen and no one that can take a face-off? What in the hell are you doing?
That's why we got Jumbo, okay? Leave it alone. Everyone
disagrees. I disagree with Steve. Matthews is a great face-off guy, and so is Tavares.
Matthews is a very good one, and then Tavares is a good one. But last year, still, when we needed to win a goddamn face-off, we were losing them. So I need Jumbo here. All right,
My expectation with Jumbo is he's gonna start on that first line simply because he is still a threat, and he can thread a pass to some shooters easily. He's gonna get that power play time because he can thread a pass. I expect 12 minutes a game. I would normally say that, but I think 14 minutes is fair because he's not gonna play every game. He's gonna sit on back to backs, just like Spezza will. We're gonna have people that can rotate in. However, I think because of who he's gonna play with, if he can score 30 assists, I'll be buying that ugly ass retro jersey with Joe Thornton's name on the back.
First of all, I like that jersey. Fuck everybody. Hockey fans have no fashion sense anyway, so let's not even worry about it.
Touche.
Second, Joe Thornton, why he's probably gonna play on that first line is Marner, they say, is looking to score more this year.
Yeah, we need him to stop playing like the video game for sure.
Yeah, so if he's looking to score more and you pair him with Matthews, teams have to account for Matthews shooting no matter where he is in the offensive zone for obvious reasons. I think he has the best like shot in hockey. So if you have Marner also looking to shoot, you can decoy Matthews a lot, get Marner a lot of good looks, I think. And Joe Thornton is the guy to get those passes where they need to be. So I think that's the logic, and to see if they have some chemistry to make it work. I just can't see Joe Thornton playing 56 games and a bunch of back-to-backs every night. But I think I think three or four games against Edmonton with Matthews and Marner.
And those 9-6 games,
Yeah, you get like three, he'll bag three or four assists. I expect Thornton to maybe score two or three goals this year. And honestly, they probably will come on the power play where we just plunk his giant ass in front of the net because we've never had that.
What's going to help all three of them not power play talk is that means that Keith's only going to start them in the offensive zone. So it's not like Thornton's going to have to be skating 200 feet starting in the defensive zones. They're going to be starting in the offensive zone every chance they get. And as you like, Thornton is playing on the wing, but I know they're going to flip the faceoff up to Thornton's strong side, which will be right, and Matthew's strong side, which is left. And just starting in the offensive zone, not having to skate 200 feet to make something happen, really going to help keep Joe Thornton's leg going.
Looking to puck up the boards with Joe Thornton covering those boards too.
But the other part of me is like, ugh, he's 40 whatever and can't he do this, and why is Nylander not on this line, and why is Jimmy Vesey on the second line?
My biggest question I've raised earlier is why swap Nylander and Marner? That's a real weird one for me.
And same with even Zach Hyman to an extent. Even I could get behind Tavares, Hyman, and Nylander. Not sure I'm getting behind Vesey, Tavares, and Nylander yet. And I love William Nylander. He's my boy, don't get me wrong, but
nothing wrong with him at all. I think Nylander should be in place of Marner on that top line.
I agree. I just Tavares and Marner have a good chemistry together. And I don't know if Matthews and Marner really found that chemistry. Maybe Joe brings it together. I don't know. Just a hot topic for everyone in the Leafs. I don't believe Nick Robinson makes this team. He might be on that taxi squad because there's nowhere to send him, but yeah. He's and his salary really helps. But we're not going to burn a year on his contract with all the forwards we have. Our depth is really good this year. Maybe it sucks, but it's good. So we're not going to waste a year on Robertson.
We gotta accept. What? You said maybe our depth's good this year, but it sucks? Like, what does that even mean?
No, like we have a lot of depth is what I'm trying to say. It might suck, but at least we have a lot of it for once.
A lot of warm bodies, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I did word that wrong.
Yeah, I was very confused. Sorry.
Yeah.
So we're coming up. We're over an hour here. I want to get us out on a little bit of prediction fun. Instead of doing like we've already said which four teams are making it out of the North Division, aka Team Canada, the Canadian Division. Did we not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So Montreal and Toronto play 10 times this season. Head to head. What is the Leafs' record against the Habs this year? Steve, I'm going to you first.
5-3-2.
Justin?
6-3-1.
Yeah, Adam 4. I had Montreal 4-6, so I think I know I do. I have Montreal 4-6. They're going to win four.
I counted 2 shootout losses because no matter how much talent the Leafs load up on in shootouts, they never win them anyway.
Oh my gosh, shootouts! What's that? I don't even need to watch those.
So just so you guys know, Toronto's got Calgary 9 times, Edmonton 9 times, Ottawa 9 times, and Vancouver 9 times, and the two teams you play 10 times:
Winnipeg and Montreal.
Yeah. That's it. That's how your head-to-head breakdown goes. Montreal's got it a little bit easier, having Ottawa 10 times.
Yep, we're gonna turn the Jets into the New York Football Jets this year. It's gonna be great.
Come on, stop that.
Oh yeah, you're a Jets fan too, aren't you?
Yes. They fired the coach 2 years and like 3 hours too late.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely too late.
Just before we go, probably good to mention an old super wild card weekend. The NFL has the dumbest names of all time. I hopped on the Bills Mafia, baby. Let's go.
I'm a Colts fan.
Perfectly okay
with Buffalo winning. If anyone's going to beat me, I want it to be Buffalo.
Well, they're the reason you got in, right? So
God bless them, man. I live next door to Buffalo. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Here's what we'll do. So, yeah. Yeah. Bills, Colts, who you got?
Colts.
Bills.
Rams, Seahawks.
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 Buccaneers, Redacted.
Redacted.
I want them to win so bad.
I'll give a quick and brief why. I think that pass rush is going to like terrorize Tom Brady. Terrorized white people yesterday. Go ahead.
Chase Young wants Brady, and I think he'll get him. They're very good. They're very good defensive pass rush. And
they can shut it down.
Ravens, Titans.
That's a tough one because the Titans' defense is terrible, but I'm taking Titans.
Derrick Henry for life.
Dup Bears and the Saints.
Dup Bears!
Oh my god, that Bears team! If Mitch Trubisky beats Drew Brees in a playoff game, I need Drew Brees stricken from all football talk. For
I can't believe the Bears made it, but yeah, the Bears.
Austin went 8-8, made the playoffs. It's disgusting.
And then Browns Steelers to close out the weekend.
It's so sad that the Browns have COVID. Since 1994, and they're gonna get hit with COVID now. I'm taking the Steelers.
Steelers by 15. This Browns team limped in with it's sad. I hope, don't be wrong, I want the Browns to win by 40, but I feel like they're going to lose by 15.
Just one quick thing about Derrick Henry. The prop bet on him is over under 120 yards, and the payout for under 120 yards is huge. So if there's a week to take that bet on Henry getting under 120 yards, it's probably this week.
You better revisit your last two matchups, the Ravens and the Titans, to see that 120 yards is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It's bad.
I wish everyone well in their wildcard weekend. As a Patriots fan, I'll be watching without care or concern.
Congratulations on not having to worry about football in January for the first time.
I am, I am on the Chiefs bandwagon because I think they're going to win it all. But I would love to see the Seahawks win. If Buffalo gets through, I'll pull for Buffalo to. I'd like to see a Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
I want to see more videos of idiots getting slammed through flaming tables. And I'll say it.
Oh yeah, Bills Mafia. Baby.
Steve, where can the people find you on the socials?
At SteveSteele23 on Instagram. On Twitter, you can find me as Mr. Turducken, aka SteveSteele23. And on Boomer social media, don't bother.
And Justin, if people want to tell you why the Leafs are going to lose all of their games against Montreal, where can they find you?
You just look up Morbid Entertainment anywhere and you'll find me. And if you chirp me, get ready.
You ready for a Donnybrook? Because you better be ready. You can find me at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Comment 2. It's been fun, fellas. Let's do it again soon.
Awesome, guys. Thanks.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. We are on every major podcasting app, basically across the globe. If we're not on a podcasting app and you want us to be, let us know on social media, where you can find me at Armchair Commentary or at Armchair Comment 2, and you can find Steve at SteveSteele23. I'd like to thank Justin for taking some time to talk with us, of course. And last but not least, this is the most important thing. Stay safe out there. We appreciate anyone listening to this podcast and taking the journey with us, but make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Drink some water. This is a memo to hydrate right now. Drink some water, put the podcast on, share it with your friends. We appreciate it. Welcome to season 3. It has been an interesting week in the world of sports. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening.